Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Guess I must be done. Shed a pocket full of horses, Trojan and some abuse. But it was Saturday night. I guess that makes it alright. You see, what have I got to lose? Money.
Ladarius Clarity was known by his community as a Pensacola football star. His life came to an end in July 2021 when he was mistakenly targeted and shot to death while driving. Today, the First District Court of Appeal reversed DeQuavion Snowden's conviction and life sentence. The court found that when Snowden was interrogated in 2021, he requested a lawyer three separate times. But Escambia County deputies didn't get him an attorney and did not stop questioning him. The court says they violated Snowden's Miranda right.
So this is the kind of case that will drive everybody crazy. Because you have a person who was tried for a 50 gunshots-related shooting homicide, and it was all mistaken identity because, you know, the two guys had seen Ladarius Clarity and his friend at the dice game, and they mistook him for somebody that they thought had a hit out on them. The fact that these are things that actual people are thinking about in Escambia County itself is amazing. Then they call their friends and they say, let's get him. And they follow them in the car from the dice game in two separate cars. They open fire, 50 bullets killing LD and his friend and shooting his friend who survived amazingly. And the Escambia County Sheriff's Office does great work and, you know, gets everybody. And through the course of events, a couple of the cases get dropped for reasons that I will confess I do not understand, but that's what happened. And then you get these two convictions of these two brothers, and the one brother has still been convicted, and he was actually involved in the shooting, as in actually trigger pulling. And then this brother was the driver, and he goes and he gets interrogated by the Escambia County Sheriff's Office for 13 hours. And in the course of that time, three different times, in three somewhat different ways, he asks for a lawyer. And if you've ever watched any TV cop crime story, you know that you have the right to remain silent. You have the right to have an attorney present at your questioning, right? Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. The reason we have Miranda rights is to prevent police from coercing citizens, and I am not saying that this person was coerced, but, you know, that's part of the reason. And also because everybody's entitled to legal representation, because legal representation from the beginning, when you've been accused of something, you're entitled to have a lawyer advise you on what the law is, because not every citizen. It's kind of, we have this weird conflict of principles, because on the one hand, ignorance of the law is not an excuse for breaking it, right? You're obligated to know the law enough to not break it. And you cannot say to somebody, well, I didn't know that was illegal. It doesn't matter. On the other hand, once you actually get charged, or, I mean, at any point when you become arrested, you have the right to have somebody there to tell you what the law is. You see how there's a tension there? The right to have an attorney is only makes sense if you presume that people may not entirely understand the law enough to act on their own behalf. So on the one hand, we build a legal system that expects you to obey the law regardless of whether you know what it is. And on the other hand, we have a legal system that provides you legal counsel based on the premise that it's understandable that everybody may not know what the law is. Well, how can both be true? Well, they are. You know, and Part of our legal system is built around the idea that we don't like powerful government. Powerful government is the enemy of liberty and is able to do all kinds of things to coerce and harm people that it doesn't like. And so we protect the innocent individual citizen. We put all kinds of safeguards around individuals, and partially in order to avoid the prosecution of the innocent, partially to avoid basically bullying and oppression, right? Because governments around the world, historically, are notorious for bullying their citizens and engaging in show trials and punishing people for things that are ridiculous. I mean, look at your totalitarian countries, you know, look at your Russia, former Soviet Union, look at China, look at Cuba, look at, you know, okay, it happens all over the world. And so we built a whole system designed to avoid that problem. And part of the cost of having a system designed to avoid that problem is that if you're going to give defense protection to every individual to avoid abuse by government, you are also going to give defense protection to guilty individuals and equip them to avoid just punishment from governments when they actually do wrong. You can't have one without the other. And we've made a decision collectively that we'd rather make big errors in the direction of protecting the innocent from an oppressive or misguided government. And in the process, we're going to allow guilty people to go free or at least get protection or get reduced sentences because they have better lawyers who can negotiate better plea deals. You know, whatever the case may be. All of that is you if you do one, you get the other. You can't have one without the other. I mean, the alternative is we can make it easier to have prosecutions. We could, you know, try to secure convictions. We could basically take away defense or accused rights, and you would get more guilty people in jail, and you would have less crime. But you would also have more innocent people in jail, and you would have the opportunity for government to abuse its power, right? That's the trade-off. Okay, so in this case, he was the driver, and he asked for representation, and he was not given it three different times. DeQuavion Snowden is the guy's name. And in the trial, I did not watch any of this. I don't watch trials typically. I mean, I don't think I've watched an Escambia trial ever. So I don't, you know, I just, it's long. They're usually long and very boring, and they're important, but they're long and very boring. And in this case, he asked three times for a lawyer, and he was never given a lawyer. Therefore, the case, whatever the outcome is, I mean, a judge is going to look at that and say, well, what were you doing? I mean, the sheriff's deputies messed up by not allowing him a lawyer. It's worse than that, though, because it's the exact situation of why you want a lawyer present. Because what he said, apparently, I thought the PNJ, Ben Johnson, had a really good article about this. What he said was, I didn't have a gun, I just drove the car. I don't understand why they can charge me with murder. I don't want to be charged with murder. I don't want to be charged with murder. I'll be charged with accessory or driving the car, but I didn't shoot nobody. Now, if you've listened to me talk to our law enforcement friends over the years, you already know exactly what happened here. It's the felony murder rule. You don't have to pull the trigger to be charged with the felony, to be charged for murder. If you in the commission of a forcible felony, you participate, you catch the charge as if you did the whole thing. So if you drive your friends to the convenience store and they rob the place and shoot somebody, or even if they rob it, well, you didn't go in and do the robbery. You didn't brandish the weapon. You didn't make a threat. You just drove the car. You might as well have gone in with the knife or the gun. You might as well have made the threat. It's all the same. That's the felony murder rule. No, I know that. You may or may not know that. But in this case, the guy who drove the car with the shooting in the car, who clearly is a bad guy, I mean, that obviously, well, the felony murder rule says you might as well have been shooting. He doesn't know that rule, which is why you have lawyers, which is why you're entitled to a lawyer who could explain to you, for instance, yeah, you shouldn't confess to driving the car in the commission of a murder. That's bad for you. You're going to get charged with the murder. So this goes to the appellate court, and the appellate court says, yeah, you can't use that in trial. That's not acceptable. And they did. And by the way, the defense lawyer in the case had said, you can't use this at trial. Judge, you can't allow this confession because they denied him the right to a lawyer. And the judge agreed, even though, you know, after the 13-hour confession, it was obvious he did it. He confessed to it. They charged him. They convicted him. The jury took 90 minutes.
First, Snowden asked investigators, quote, any way I can talk to my lawyer or anything. Later, Snowden told them, quote, that's why I need a lawyer or something. I don't know what to tell y'all. 17 minutes after, Snowden said, quote, I need a lawyer. The interrogation lasted 13 hours as Snowden continued making incriminating statements with no counsel present. Those statements were shown to a jury, leading them to a verdict in less than 90 minutes.
It's the classic case of why you're allowed to have an attorney present. Now, I said earlier, this is the kind of case that'll drive you crazy. Well, it'll drive you crazy because clearly this person should be in prison for a very long time. And under our system of rules, this person deserves to get charged with and convicted for murder under the felony murder rule. What'll drive you crazy, though, is because in this case, the procedural rules require that the conviction be thrown out. Now, the good news is that he can still be retried. That's the good news. But here's the trouble. If the cases were dropped against a couple of the other accomplices, alleged accomplices, will they be able to secure a conviction for him? Now, since they were able to convict his brother, you would think the answer is yes. So this is not quite as bad as you think it is in the sense that, well, now he's going to get to go free after he was participating in this drive-by shooting. But it's the average person very understandably looks at this case and says, this is the system we've got. On a technicality, which I don't really love calling constitutional rights technicalities, bad people get to use them too. Okay. Criminals get to use them too. And you can't even say they're criminals until, you know, that's the whole point. It's innocent until proved guilty, according to a whole bunch of rules. You know, the police rush into a house without a warrant, without probable cause. They discover guns and drugs and abused children and all the rest inside the house. They bring them to trial. They give them all the evidence. This is clearly a wicked person. Did you have a warrant? No. Did you have probable cause? No. Did you let them talk to an attorney? No. Did you tell them they could remain silent? No. Yeah, all that stuff goes away. The exclusionary rule would get rid of the evidence. The failure to warn them about the right to get rid of a confession. The failure to provide it. Did they actually do the crime? Yes. Can we put them in jail for the crime? Not on the basis of that case. Because, again, we have a whole system that's designed around protecting the innocent, protecting the government, protecting people from oppressive, invasive governments that just go around randomly invading people's homes to look for evidence in case they find something they can convict you and harass you throughout. This is the problem, and it is a problem. But this case is exactly why you have the rule where you're allowed to have a lawyer present. Because otherwise you incriminate yourself because you're dumb about the law and don't realize that if you just drove the car, that's the same as pulling the trigger. So, frustrating, annoying, all around. I mean, the deputy should have known better. I mean, that's what the appellate judge ruled. They should have known better. So I'm assuming, we'll talk to Chip about this on Tuesday. I'm assuming that as a result of this case, they've had a fairly hefty dose of re-education and making sure, hey guys, you know, these are the rules. We have to follow these rules. You know, you can't break these rules in the prosecution of a crime. Even though he did it, even though we all know he did it, even though he deserves to be punished, these are the rules. You have to follow these rules or you can't make cases. And ultimately, the only thing that really matters is if you can make the case. And if the SAO can't make the case, that's all there is to it. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Again, just to be clear, he can be retried. They just won't be able to use any of the testimony that he gave under, you know, interrogation. I'm assuming all of that, everything after the first time he asked for a lawyer will be excluded, is what I'm assuming. They might be able to show, I don't know the TikTok of it all. I don't know if he asked for a lawyer at minute 30 or at minute 1. But if he asked for it at minute 30, then 29 minutes of tape will be available. If he asked for it at minute 1, I mean, it's all going to go away. And they're going to have to make the case in a different way. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We did find out, confirmed yesterday, that Susan Wolf was removed as general counsel at the University of West Florida. Over a dust-up between her and the board chair, Rebecca Matthews. Rebecca Matthews asked for outside counsel in the process of searching for a new president. And that's kind of unusual. And so Susan Wolf said, well, here's two firms we can use. And Rebecca Matthews apparently said, no, I got this firm in mind. And Susan Wolf said, well, the rules of the university allow me to pick because I am your counsel. And somehow or other, after that, Manny Diaz, the interim president, terminated the employment of Susan Wolf. And I told you yesterday, late on Wednesday night, I had actually asked for a statement from Manny Diaz, and I got one finally. It's very boilerplate. It's the kind of, you know, no content statement that drives me crazy. After careful consideration and in the best interest of the university, I made the decision that Susan Wolf will no longer serve as general counsel for UWF. You know, what do I always say, John? What's my number one rule of being in news, being communication, anybody, is be a person. Be a person. Talk to me. Talk to me, Goose. You know, just tell me something. Okay. I mean, you know, it's the no content. It's the no comment comment. Right. It's, you know, I'm going to comment with words that carry no content. Therefore, it's essentially no comment. And I mean, that's entirely somebody's prerogative. I just don't think it's the best communication strategy. 525 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Some things can steal your sunshine. Ugh, I just got my hair done.
Sorry, the cooler's broken.
Aww. Anyone see my flip-flops? Anyone?
But COVID-19 can steal a lot more.
I just took a COVID test. Ugh.
Prescription medications for COVID exist. If you test positive this summer, ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com/COVID-19 to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Your child is 18, and suddenly you no longer have legal access to their medical info, even in an emergency. No health decisions, no financial help, nothing, unless you plan ahead. That's why Trust and Will created the Young Adult Plan. It includes HIPAA authorization, healthcare directives, and power of attorney. Everything your child needs to stay protected and stay connected. Go to trustandwill.com and get your Young Adult Plan for just $69. Because turning 18 shouldn't mean cutting parents out of the picture. Trust and Will is an online estate planning service. See website for details.
Ooh, Trust and Will.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Good morning, 527 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Hold on, I'm on the wrong window here. Where am I? There we go. Federal investigators.
That one doesn't need to be cleaned.
Well, you know. Federal investigators wrap up hearings today in the deadly mid-air crash over the Potomac River that killed 67 people in January. Yesterday, testimony focused on air traffic control training, with controllers telling NTSB officials that they were overwhelmed by constant air traffic and just had to make it work under pressure. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky calling for regime change in Russia just hours after a deadly Russian missile and drone attack kills 31 people in Kyiv. He was at a conference yesterday marking the 50th anniversary of the Helsinki Accords. Zelensky said without change in Moscow, Russia would continue trying to destabilize the region. And Andrew...
That's Helsinki, Sweden, by the way.
Happy Hulk Hogan.
What? No, come on. You're not gonna correct me on that? It's not Helsinki. It's a diehard reverse joke.
I just wanted to correct you later.
Jumps in to try to clarify that it's the Stockholm, Finland, and I made that it's Finland. It's a Helsinki.
You know, it's only 5:28 in the morning. How are we supposed to get jokes this early in the day?
Go on, David. Go on.
Well, happy Hulk Hogan Day, guys. Governor Ron DeSantis has officially declared today a day of tribute for Hulk Hogan. Flags are at half staff today on government buildings. Okay. That's all I got for that. But
all right, I got you. All right, fair enough. Thanks so much, David. Sorry for my bad joke. 529 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, so have you seen, we've been talking about the Sydney Sweeney, American Eagle Outfitters, all the stuff, it's really kind of a find out who's crazy in your circle of Facebook friends, right? The people who share the criticisms of, and this is Nazi propaganda and all that stuff, whatever. But have you seen the newest follow-up to this story? Not from American Eagle. Dunkin' Donuts, or Dunkin', as they're called now, has an ad out.
This tan? Genetics. I just got my color analysis back. Guess what? Golden summer. Literally. I can't help it. Every time I drink a Dunkin' Golden Hour Refresher, it's like the sun just finds me. So if sipping these refreshers makes me the king of summer, guilty as charged.
Gavin Castellano, I'm not really sure how you say his name, but...
The Golden Hour Refresher, only a Dunkin'.
You caught the very beginning, right?
This tan? Genetics.
So Dunkin's like, let us play!
I know!
Accuse us of being racist Nazis, please!
Talk about us!
But also Dunkin' is saying, you know, all y'all are dumb, right? So this is post-warning. Media's been warned, and post-warning they came out with this ad. Definitely buying Dunkin' Donuts today in support.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump signing an executive order dishing out some new tariff rates to countries around the world.
The tariff rates range from 15 to more than 40%. The White House maintains the tariffs will reverse trade deficits with U.S. trading partners, even as economists continue to warn about inflation.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera. The rates go into effect next week, but a separate order increased Canada's tariff rate from 25% to 35% effective today.
We like Canada. I love Canada. I have so many friends in Canada, but they've been very poorly led. They've been very, very poorly led.
White House saying that Canada failed to cooperate in curbing the trade of fentanyl. In another executive order, the president reestablished the president's Council on Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition and the presidential fitness test. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 81 degrees with about a 92 degree heat index at the moment. One of the men convicted in the murder of former football standout Ladarius Clardy in 2021 will get a new trial after the court found his Miranda rights were violated. The court ruled 25-year-old Dekavion Snowden invoked his right to an attorney multiple times during a lengthy interrogation, but said investigators continued questioning him without legal counsel present. Snowden's conviction, which resulted in a life sentence, has now been overturned. The legal process will begin new, although a date for his retrial has not been set. Clardy was shot 14 times in his vehicle following a dice game. Investigators later said it appeared to be a case of mistaken identity. Dekavion's brother, Amos Snowden, was found guilty of first-degree premeditated murder in the case last January. He's currently serving a life sentence. Three other men were also charged in the case and had charges dropped by the state attorney's office. The Florida Department of Health, Santa Rosa, has lifted a health advisory issued for Navarre Beach last week. Recent tests indicate the water quality at beach public accesses 37A and 40B show an acceptable level of bacteria established by state guidelines. Last weekend, Pensacola police officers were involved in a tense standoff with a domestic violence suspect that had shot a woman in the head. That woman escaped the home, was able to call for help. PPD's Mike Woods said the standoff lasted a few hours before officers got into the home.
Eventually, the Bearcat was able to breach a window in the residence. The sheriff's office assisted us with a small drone to go inside the residence, and we always appreciate their help in these situations. And using that drone, we were able to see that the male had shot himself.
PPD's Mike Wood, the victim was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The suspect remains in critical condition. Wood says domestic violence can be difficult to stop as it happens in private homes, and police, family, and friends are often unaware of the problems. An Okaloosa County man that killed his entire family is now dead. The state of Florida executed Edward Zakruski yesterday at the Florida State Prison. He died by lethal injection at 6:12 p.m. Zakruski confessed to killing his wife and his two kids in 1994 at their home in Mary Esther. He was upset that she was going to divorce him and take the kids with her to her home country of South Korea. Zakruski was a tech sergeant at Eglin Air Force Base at the time. He's the ninth person to be executed in Florida this year. 534. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a chance of rain today, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, otherwise partly sunny skies with a high near 93. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. For Saturday, 60% chance of rain, high near 92. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Going into Sunday, 60% chance of rain with a high near 92 and a low near 78. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got 81 degrees, heat index at 92. Our next news at 6 a.m. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump has signed an executive order that adjusted so-called reciprocal tariffs on a slew of countries, with new levies ranging from 10 to 41%. Trump told NBC News in a phone interview that he was open to more compelling offers, but it was too late for some nations to avoid duties as of next week. Nippon Steel has revised its forecast for the full fiscal year to a $266 million loss from a $1.3 billion profit previously, partly due to costs related to its acquisition of U.S. Steel. In June, Nippon Steel closed its $14.9 billion acquisition of U.S. Steel after an 18-month struggle to obtain U.S. government approval for the deal. Amazon's Cloud Group recorded revenue growth of 18% in the second quarter, which is slightly ahead of analysts' estimates. Amazon Web Services continues to lead the cloud infrastructure market, but is facing intensifying pressure from Microsoft and Google as all three companies ramp up investments in artificial intelligence. Futures are sharply lower. That's Your Money Now.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us on this Friday morning. Yesterday, had a good chance to talk to Mike Wood, our public information officer at the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. We have a couple of incidents that we need to talk about. First of all, you had a SWAT call over on Avery Street. Is that right?
Yeah, it was on Saturday in the 100 block of Avery. It was about. It started as a domestic violence issue involving an elderly couple. The husband shot the female in the head, but she was able to run from the house and call 911 and get officers over there. The initial officers that arrived were unable to make contact with the man that was still inside the house, who refused to obey commands, so the SWAT team was called out. Eventually, the Bearcat was able to breach a window in the residence. The sheriff's office assisted us with a small drone to go inside the residence, and we always appreciate their help in these situations. And using that drone, we were able to see that the male had shot himself. So the good news about this is, you know, it's domestic violence is horrible. It's a very difficult thing to be able to stop because it happens inside the four walls of a home. But the good news here is that the female was able to walk out with a gunshot wound to the head, and she's going to survive those injuries.
Wow. And the man also survived, or was he deceased? Because I thought maybe he had also survived.
He did, but he's in very critical condition, the last I heard yesterday.
Okay. All right. And, boy, you sure aren't wrong about the domestic violence. I mean, we were just a minute ago, we were talking about this horrible story in Okaloosa County that we're about to execute somebody tonight for this atrocious domestic violence from 31 years ago. In this case, she lived, thank God, amazing, despite a head wound. So, I feel like I can never say this enough times. People's impression of SWAT is that they're like Rambo going in there to take everybody out. But the reality is that SWAT is primary goal is to save lives and de-escalate, right?
Yeah, they're going to do absolutely everything they can to keep things or to de-escalate and to make sure that the situation turns out peacefully. That's why they also are accompanied a lot of times with a negotiation team that will try to speak for hours and hours. I mean, we've got time on our side, and there's some times that, you know, if a gunshot is heard or a scream is heard, then we just don't have that time anymore, and we must go inside of that home or that business. But they try their very best to make sure things end peacefully, and thank goodness 99% of the time they do.
You mentioned when you were talking about this case that Escambia County Sheriff's Office assisted you guys with a drone, and we were just talking about this with Andy Hobbs on Tuesday, that they have a drone on every shift, that they have multiple drones. What's the status of PPD's drone fleet? Because it surprises me a little that you needed, you know, the sheriff's office to help on that, because you guys have your own drones, or at least had your own drones.
We did, and those drones didn't work out parts-wise and things like that, so now we're going to new ones, and we have to also use the ones that are approved by the state that are built in America. So we got those coming. We've got some that are in. We also have several officers that are being trained as pilots to operate those drones. And once they're 100% up and running, we're going to let you know. But our program is still there. We were just having to replace equipment and get new drones.
Okay, so we're just kind of temporarily in a situation where we don't have one, but obviously you're working on getting that back up and running, which is because they're super useful. I didn't know that, so that's helpful information. We also had an incident of you have a follow-up arrest for a shooting death that occurred back in 2024, right?
Yeah, that was a homicide, and what the first arrest was made shortly afterwards, and then investigators developed information and found out that there was more than one person involved, and a second arrest has been made in that situation.
And I think maybe in the second arrest there was a chase involved. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not familiar with that. I do know that there was an incident that happened, but I don't know if it was what type chase it was.
Okay.
But he certainly did not want to go to jail.
Fair enough. We also had I don't know. I mean, to me now, I've seen so many of these stories, and I know you guys in law enforcement have seen so many more of these things than I have, that maybe I shouldn't be surprised by anything, but I still do find myself surprised that apparently there was a family-related ring of retail theft, like, that were stealing from Cordova Mall from different stores, including, like, sunglasses and stuff. Is that right?
Yeah, there was a lot of merchandise, some of it very expensive merchandise, and it was people from the same family. I guess if you're going to go in to do something like this, and you want to trust the people that you are with, because obviously the more that are involved, the bigger the chance of somebody letting information out or getting caught. And these three individuals were related, were family, and eventually did get caught. The lesson learned here is, you know, if you keep going back to the same place, which was Cordova Mall, and committing these thefts, there are cameras all over the place. And, you know, the first or second time might be an easy theft and we're able to get away with it. But then people tend to get greedy and keep going back and going back and going back until they eventually get caught. And that's what happened here.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, it's also the other side of this, which is if you see a deal on Facebook Marketplace that looks too good to be true, could be a reason. Maybe ask questions. You know, there could be a reason.
Yeah.
But I guess
it usually is.
I guess the family that steals together serves together in this case. They will stay together, just maybe in separate facilities. Oh, you know, another thing that came up with Andy Hobbs, I know you and I have talked about this before, but it's one of those things that's so contrary to people's expectation that it might be worth mentioning. The picture people have of burglars is that they need to be most concerned at night, you know, the creeping in the door when the lights are out and that's when you're home and all that. But burglaries are more common to happen during the day. Is that right?
Yeah. If you break into somebody's house, particularly in this part of the country at night, the chances of you getting shot are very high. So they tend to do that sort of thing in the daytime when most people are working. And then auto burglaries are the opposite. They do those at night, particularly in apartment complexes where there's a lot of vehicles in one place, and they assume that you are asleep. So yeah, that's just how they lay these things out, these plans out, and a lot of people think that these burglaries happen at night at the homes, and that's just simply not the case.
Would this also go along with the advice to, hey, I know everybody thinks about locking your doors on your house at night, but during the day, have your doors locked during the day, right?
Yeah, but and a lot of people, especially in rural areas, that were brought up never locking the doors. So there's just nobody's going to bother my home.
Yeah.
Don't think like that, because the times have changed, and they will go to great lengths, especially if you have multiple people in your home. Kids have brought friends in, and they brought friends in, and word gets out that what's inside that home and that it's easy because it's always left unlocked. That's just something that, you know, times have changed. You need to always lock your car, always lock your home, and if you can get alarm systems for both of them, that's highly recommended as well.
Okay, I'm going to ask a really, not stupid, but sort of stupid-esque question based on all the TV that I have ever watched. Is it worse, are the charges worse, if you break and enter as opposed to if you just enter with an unlocked door?
It doesn't matter. I mean, you have no business in there, and whether you walk through it unlocked or you break a window, you're still in there and you're committing a felony. It goes quickly from trespassing to burglary when you begin to take things out of there. And then it escalates even more if you threaten people inside.
Okay, so the entering is the real issue, not the breaking. And so that's that old kind of, I don't know, misconception. Like, it's everything I ever learned about law enforcement from television was wrong. Speaking of that, cop myth.
Can you
believe
it?
Yeah, I know, it's hard to imagine, right? How could that be? Well, it is. I mean, it's funny because to me, every profession that I have ever worked in, everything I've ever seen in movies or TV about that profession has been wrong. And then we assume that the other professions, they just mystically get it all right. You know, everything about doctoring, everything about teaching, everything, you know, it's all. Anyway, you have a cop myth or a did you know for us this week?
I do. And the belief is that if you found a large amount of cash and you turn it into the police, that we are going to seize it, similar, like we do if it's a drug money or something like that, that we seize it, we put it to use buying police equipment and things like that. That's simply not true. If you find a large amount of cash or any amount of cash and you turn that in, and we do not have anybody come forward and claim that, and you just can't walk into the police station and say, hey, that's my money, because you're going to have to know a lot more about it than that. But if it's not claimed in a certain amount of time, you get that money back. And it just happened not too long ago to an individual who brought in several thousand dollars in cash that she found, and now she's got that money. So that is a myth. We don't keep it. It's not ours. And if you brought it in, then it's going to be yours if it's not claimed.
Interesting. No, I you know, I remember one time we found a bag that had a PlayStation and some money in it, and you know, we turned it in and we never saw it again. And I just always figured that they were enjoying it down at the station, you know, playing the PlayStation. But so I was hoping it got back to its owner. But is that true for merchandise, too, that if you find stolen merchandise, does that also go to the finder?
Well, not stolen merchandise.
Well, I mean, if it's like, if you find money, it goes to you unclaimed. If it's a, I don't know, you find a, you know, a laptop and nobody comes and claims it, does that same thing revert to the finder?
The same thing can happen.
Okay. But not with a brick of cocaine. You guys don't return that to the finder, right?
No, we don't. We had somebody come in one time at the death sergeant's office with cocaine and wanted a report because they bought cocaine that was bad, that was fake, and it was quickly tested by an officer, and they found out that it was not fake. They weren't robbed. It was real, and that person was placed under arrest right there in our front lobby.
God, that's amazing. And they were probably thinking, well, you know, when I get out, you owe it back to me because it's mine. I paid for it, but that's not how that works either. Okay, well, I'm glad I asked follow-up questions because that was super entertaining. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time, indulging my silliness, and giving us information. I really appreciate it, sir.
Hey, thank you for indulging me as well.
There's a part of me that still cannot believe that story.
I know,
but
right?
Knowing what I know of criminals, no, I can believe that story.
Yeah.
No, I can completely believe that story. He ripped me off! See? Here's the cocaine to prove it. Sir, that's actually cocaine.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in on Saturday. 550 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Sportsman's Night Out is back, and it's bigger than ever. This year, it's a new date and more giveaways than ever before. You could win a brand new camper, a four-wheeler, a side-by-side, hunting trips, fishing gear, and even a brand new car. It all goes down September 11th at the Pensacola Bay Center. Tickets? Just $10. But don't wait. They will sell out. Grab yours now at sportsmansnightout.com. Sportsman's Night Out, September 11th. Presented by Carpenter's Campers, Parrish Tractor, Penton's Auto Trim, Sandy Sansing Automotive, and Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA Customer Service Department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
News Radio 92.3. Get your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My brother, it's always business, never personal.
John, what was your favorite exercise in high school for the presidential fitness test? Or maybe it was junior high or grade school for you. I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I don't think it was actually high school. I think we did this in grade school.
Yeah, middle school.
High.
Yeah.
So what was your favorite one?
Ah, man.
The push-up, the sit-up, the shuttle run.
Yes.
Do you remember the shuttle run?
Oh, I do, because we did
run
it in football.
Pick. But you call them, they call them not shuttle runs. They call them something else in football, don't they? Like sprints. There's another word for it. Suicides.
Well, yeah, you could.
Right? Don't they call them suicides?
Yeah.
But you don't call them that anymore, I suppose.
No.
Do they call it that anymore?
Called the shuttle run.
Something else. Okay, all right. So, and wasn't there was another one, right? The shuttle run. I remember. Oh, the arm hang, pull-ups. For men, it was pull-ups. For women, it was the just stay there.
Don't move.
So they're bringing this back. President Trump is bringing it back.
Really?
This, you know what's amazing? It's like the driver's ed thing. When I found out that we were not
teaching kids driver's ed and weren't forcing them to drive, and then sometimes they didn't even have to take an actual driving test.
I know.
Like, my whole world fell apart. Like, no wonder these people are this bad. You know, this suddenly it all makes sense. I mean, it was always loose to begin with. Now it's just non-existent, the training. I felt like, you know, my whole picture of education was wrong. It never occurred, and I guess because my kids didn't go to public school until middle school, but it never occurred to me that they're not doing the presidential fitness test anymore.
Me
since
either.
Obama.
Wow.
Yeah, which is weird because Michelle Obama was the let's move first lady, right? Mm-hmm. She was all into the fitness and health. And I guess it had to do with the idea that, well, you know, tests like this that foster competition between people and simply give you a number don't really tell you about the best indicators of overall health. We have more, you know, particular individualized things, and this doesn't. Blah!
Isn't it called life?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Shut up. So, out of what can only be described as full-blown progressive sympathy, wokeness, enlightened ideology about whatever, they got rid of it. And now it's coming back. President Trump is bringing it back and this is brutal, though, with the one-mile run. Oh, man, I used to hate the one-mile run.
I know.
And, you know, even the 800-yard is the half mile. So sit-ups and stretching exercises. Good. I mean, I have another suggestion. We can have the 400-meter phone throwaway exercise.
Oh.
the shuttle run mm-hmm. could be not picking up the erasers, which who would know what to do with an eraser if you can even find them these days. It would be running and throwing the phone down. We can destroy cell phones in the process. No single activity will improve student fitness better than that, in my own opinion. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And good morning, Andrew. Federal investigators wrapping up hearings today on that midair crash over the Potomac that killed 67 people in January. Yesterday, testimony focused on air traffic control training, with controllers telling NTSB officials that they were overwhelmed by the constant air traffic and just had to make it work under pressure. The crash involved a commercial airliner and an Army Black Hawk helicopter. Illinois is now the first state in the nation to require an annual mental health screening for students. J.B. Pritzker signed this law mandating public schools offer free health screenings to students grades 3 through 12 at least once a year starting in 2027. And Boston.
I'm sorry, we're not commenting because we're over here just laughing.
We're just laughing.
It's just so. Every student gets 3 mental health days a year, you know.
Only 3?
You know what's amazing?
I'm going to need more than that.
As enlightened as we've become, how is it people aren't tougher?
I don't know.
Why do they quit so easily? Why are they so self-centered? And it's so hard for them to take criticism. How on earth did we get here with such great leaders guiding us through education? Go ahead, David.
Well, Boston Marathon bomber. What's this guy's
name? Carr.
Joe Carr, thank you. I appreciate that. Joe Carr Sarnev lost his effort to remove the judge that is in charge of the challenge to his death sentence. A federal appeals court has rejected claims that the U.S. District Court Judge George O'Toole has shown that he's not impartial through comments made in podcasts and at public events. He was convicted of all charges related to the Boston Marathon bombing and has been sentenced to death.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Another example of I just can't believe it's taking us this long to make this happen. Look, I'm a Christian, inconvenient though that is at times, but there is definitely a part of me that's like, just take him up back and shoot him. I mean, honestly, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And we all know it's ridiculous, but this is, again, the society we've chosen because we choose to protect people from abusive governments. We choose to protect people who might be innocent. And we give them, like the guy they finally killed, Ed Zachevsky last night. And I'm not going to talk more about that case, but okay. And good riddance.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a modern day horror. We've had 9 people executed in Florida. Only 9. I mean, you know, like.
Just, right.
And this is 31 years too late. Anyway. 437-1620. Oh, by the way, just going back to the presidential fitness thing for a second. Did you happen to catch President Trump's comments when he was naming some of the people? There's all kinds of celebrity sports figures that are on his panel of presidential. And somebody texted in that they're really proud of their presidential fitness award because they worked hard for it. We did.
Yeah.
And some of us didn't.
We really did.
Didn't win it. We tried, but we didn't win it. But anyway, the president was talking about some of the people that are on his panel.
He was on the council, and Tua Tagovailoa.
No.
The quarterback who was.
No, wait. It was
and the... Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback who is really, he's been fantastic. He's been, when he's not injured, he's great. He's got to stay healthy. Yeah. But he's a great guy, NFL commissioner.
Is that true? I thought that was true. He's had some injury problems. Is that
he
true?
Has.
Tua?
That's okay. Why the Dolphins haven't won the Super Bowl.
But that's not. Oh, that's the only reason. But anyway, that's not how you say that word.
And Tua Tagovailoa.
Leah.
But if you don't watch college football or pro football a lot, you wouldn't know. And we only know because, you know, Alabama and Dolphins and all that. So.